Welcome to the Retail Tech Podcast. My name is Darius Wasefi. Today, I am speaking with Alex Campbell of a company called Vibes, which is an SMS engagement platform. I hope I said that correct, but
you did. You nailed it.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Alex. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So I heard about Vibes, and you know, SMS and you know, mobile communication is really important, and it's becoming even more important for retail and e-commerce. So I was really interested to learn more about what you do. So maybe we can start by just giving you just a little background on yourself, and then diving into why you've been doing this for 25 years, which is really interesting.
It's funny that when you say it's new, and then everyone needs to know about this. Yes, it is still in fact new. A little bit about me. I've been in the space now almost 25 years. So I started the company when I graduated college, and it's really interesting, because even back then we were thinking about mobile, and you know, back then it was like the internet was coming out. And my thought process with my co-founder was, all right, what's after the internet? Like, how is that going to evolve? And so the obvious idea was the internet is going to go mobile. And so what does that really mean? And what does that mean for brands who want to talk to customers? And it's like, we had no idea it would evolve, that mobile would evolve into what it is today, you know, until smartphones came out. And again, remember, this is before smartphones. This is like flip phones. But it's really interesting how the core differentiators of mobile have stayed the same. And when I say that, it's about, you know, when I think about mobile is a very personal device. So there are many things that work in advertising on other devices that aren't so personal that don't work on mobile. And my, you know, the example I always give is the, you know, if I'm going to go check the news on an app or something like that, or the mobile internet, and I get that like takeover ad that's usually for a car company, and I have to wait 15 seconds to get to what I wanted to do, that's a poor experience, right? So we always say that mobile is a mission-driven device. So I pull out my phone when I have a mission to do, and great mobile marketing helps that mission. Like the takeover ad hurt the mission of, I understand, like I want to read a headline or a sports score or something like that. So from a marketing perspective, it's really important to think about what are your customers' missions and why are they pulling out that phone? What are they trying to do? And how can I use mobile to help the end consumer do what they want to do? If that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. So maybe what we can do is clarify what we mean by mobile. Mm-hmm. Because mobile can mean different things for different people. So yeah, let's clarify that.
Yeah. So what we specialize in at Vibes, and have, you know, for all this time, is on the, not necessarily the app. So we'll do push notifications, but it's all about how a brand interacts with a customer through, not through the app or the mobile website itself, but through messaging. So whether that's push notifications, SMS, MMS, which is you know, media or pictures. There's a lot going on with mobile wallet right now, which when I talk about mobile wallet, it's the embedded wallet on iOS or Android. Mm-hmm. So it's Google Pay or Apple Pay. Mm-hmm. That's actually been really interesting over the last, really since COVID. COVID has really helped that, really push that along. So what we try and do is figure out how do we help brands interact with their customers, really with everything other than building the app. If that makes sense.
Okay. Just being in this type of business myself, I know like there's that, like, you know, so many details under what you'd mentioned.
Yeah.
Which is like it's probably a simple concept, but it's very complicated to actually do it right and do it well. So we can talk about more of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to me, like, it doesn't have to be, right? To me, it's more of a mindset of where I think it gets complicated is when you have you know, other people from other channels, like an email, if you think of SMS as, oh, this is just like email, but it's only 160 characters, that's where it's going to get complicated, right? Because I don't know about you, my inbox in email, like literally I'm looking at this right now, has 6,814 unread emails. I have zero unread texts, right? And so when you just think about that mentality, I can send someone an email, and if it comes at 3 a.m, it's no big deal because I'm going to go check my email in the morning. But if I send you a text at 3 a.m., like you're going to wake up, or you could potentially wake up. And then if it's for something that you didn't really care about, you're going to get angry, right? You're going to get pissed. So just there, you can think through the one of the beauties of something like SMS is when I send you the message, you read it. You know, it's 97% of the people read it within the first 3 minutes. So that, and I think we can all think about this from a personal standpoint. If you were to send me a message, like a text message right now that said, like, if you send me something saying, hey, our podcast is starting right now, that's really valuable to me. If you sent me that last Thursday saying like, hey, can't like, don't remember our podcast is, you know, Tuesday or whatever, that's less valuable. That's maybe better sent via email. So to go back to your question, honestly, to me, it's a mindset of what information do I need to get to my customer right now that they will value, right? You know, going back to that mission-driven, I think what we're seeing a lot of success with mobile wallet is I can see an ad or I see something online that says save, I'm just going to make it up, save 10% at this retailer this weekend. I see it on my phone, I click it, I save it to my mobile wallet. And all of a sudden on Friday, that wallet object reminds me that I have 10% off this weekend. So when I get that message, it's like, oh, thank you, phone, for reminding me and helping me remember that I can get a discount, which I wouldn't have gotten in other ways, right?
So that's interesting. I had not heard of that feature specifically. Yep. So the mobile wallet actually is able to remember the sales that you were interested in.
So what I will do, so if I'm online and I go, you know, to, you know, and I'm on Chipotle's website or something like that, and they say, hey, this weekend only, we'll give you a dollar off a burrito or an entree, I can actually click that ad, say, and it pulls up mobile wallet, just like a boarding pass. I don't know if you've used it for a boarding pass. I hit add to my wallet, it goes to the wallet in my OS, in my operating system. I could totally forget about it, right? Totally forget that I did that today. But what we can do from a technology standpoint is actually send a reminder to anyone who's downloaded that to say, hey, just a reminder that this weekend it's a dollar off, right?
Okay.
And so, and there's really interesting things where we can, working with loyalty cards, you know, if you save that into your mobile wallet, I can actually have it pull up on your phone when you get close to the store to help, again, to help remind you that you have a loyalty card for Chipotle, and remind you to use it and get points, right? And so as a consumer, it helps me, right? It helps me actually participate.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's an add-on feature on top of the mobile wallet functionality itself. It's not something like that Apple provides, for example.
Correct. Right.
Completely. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. One of the things that I'm always thinking about is like, how much of my phone am I actually not using? Which I know is lot of it. This is another one. So
yeah, and I'll give Google and Apple credit for they're running into that too. And they're running into, how do we make it easier for people to not have to, like, you probably don't even know where your wallet is on your phone, but it's there. And so when I'm paying via NFC or do Apple Pay or Google Pay, I don't need to know where it is, right? It just automatically presents itself and allows you to use it. That's great, right? Because then I don't have to go digging for anything on my phone. I use this as an example of, like, for mobile wallet, a boarding pass, right? Most people have used mobile wallet for a boarding pass where you could have pulled up the email confirmation you got. You could have gone into the app to find your boarding pass. But the beauty of it is, of a wallet, is when it's either 3 hours before the flight or when you get to the airport, because it's geofenced, it just pops up on your lock screen. So you're going through TSA and you don't have to go fumbling through and like screenshot or anything mm-hmm. like that. It's just right there and it updates when your gate changes. So it's just a much better experience. So take that to the loyalty side. And look, my vision is if you're part of a loyalty program, anytime you walk into that store, you should have that loyalty card pop up on your lock screen. Right. Yeah. So that's much easier to use. I mean, think of all the times when you're checking out. I know everyone knows the same retailers where it's like, what's your phone number? It's like, I don't know what phone number I used when I signed up. It's mine. Maybe it's my wife's, maybe my old home phone number, because I signed up 20 years ago. It's just, it would be so much easier if my phone just, again, remembered for me mm-hmm. and I could just slide it, unlock it, and present it, whether it's NFC or scan a QR code.
Yeah. Very interesting. Very interesting. So let's see. So I think you had some point about, I think we were talking about the challenges that, like, you know, B2C marketers are facing these days. And yep. like this concept of the engagement gap. Can we go into that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's really interesting because this happened. I mean, this started happening, I mean, years ago, right? With email. It used to be that like you could just run a TV ad and say, hey, here are the season's coolest jeans. And everyone was like, okay, great. I'm going to go buy those. You know, what's really happened over the last 10 years has been you could run that same ad and everyone's like, wait a minute, I'm going to go check. Like, I'm going to go actually find out if that's actually true. And when you start combining that with the amount of ways people can check, it just starts to get overwhelming, right? So when you think about how a brand engages with their customer, you have, we always think of reach and interactivity, think of of two axes like that. From the reach side, email is the way to reach, there's a way to get out to as many people as possible. That's just because it's been around for a while, everybody has email. But from the interactivity side, we're seeing open rates in single digits, and even of that, click-through rates even worse than that. So it's interesting that email has kind of, you know, yes, it's still effective, and yes, people will still seek it out of, oh, I remember I got an email from so-and-so and I'm going to go find that, but it's just not becoming very effective with that interactivity, right? Mm-hmm. On the flip side, you have an app, right? So an app, you have endless aisles. I can go shopping. I can do all this great functionality and it's very interactive, but you just don't have the reach. I mean, if you're a major brand and you get 10% of your customers to download your app, that's a huge success. And if you get half of those to actually use it, that's an even bigger success. So I always question, like, what about the other 95% of your customer base? How do you actually interact with them? So that's where something like SMS and mobile wallet come in, because SMS is a lighter version. I can sign up for it. You know, you're not going to get the same numbers of email, but when you send an SMS, people actually see it and they can interact with it. Wallet being kind of a level up where you get a little more functionality, that whole loyalty example I said, I don't have to go download the app. So I don't have to like use my home screen and use up space and all that. I can just download my loyalty card and then that's good, right? And then I get an app-like functionality when I'm in shopping in a physical store, right? So it kind of closes that gap between the app itself, which is lots of interactivity, but not a lot of downloads, and then email, which is a lot of visibility, but not a lot of interactivity.
So if you're a marketer and you're... purpose in life, I guess, at work is to find customers, like, you know, to bring in customers to make purchases, yep. and then continue engaging them on the marketing side. The options you have these days are just massive. There's so many different options.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, we've got the content side, which is completely different. Then you've got social. And then you've got these direct messaging communications, which you're you know, mentioning is email, SMS, push notifications if you have, you know, the an app.
Yep.
And the wallet is an interesting one that I personally had not thought about, which is a really interesting. The challenge is how to balance these, right?
Yep,
because absolutely. Should you just forget about one or two of these and just focus on one of them? Should you just do SMS or should you just do email? Or is it more of a balance?
I think it's really interesting because what we always say is let your customer decide, right? So let your customer decide if they want to get, and now let's take content out of it because content can also change that as well. But if, you know, there are certain brands that I will sign up for the SMS message versus email versus wallet versus app, right? And it kind of goes, you get a little whittled down as you keep going. So email, sure. I mean, email's got its own issues because I didn't even sign up for all these, right? I mean, my 8,000, you know, emails, like I didn't sign up for half of those, but somehow I'm on them. And so, you know, yes, that's great because it has reach, but you're starting to whittle down on like how effective that is. If I get a text now from a brand that I signed up for, remember that text SMS is purely opt-in, and I will give the carriers a lot of credit in the US because they have kept SMS relatively spam free. I mean, sure, you occasionally get some messages, but it's nowhere close to what email is. And the carriers that, you know, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile have done a good job of preserving the integrity of that. Because technically, if I send you a marketing message that you didn't sign up for, that is a violation of the law, right? And so, I mean, think about that for email, right? So as a marketer, first and foremost, I would say, make sure you have the options available. Like, make sure your customers can choose how they want to hear from you. That's first. Then start getting into content and what content is appropriate for which channel, and then frequency and all that comes next. But if you're not allowing your customers to choose, then you're kind of missing a channel anyway, right?
Right. Okay. So your recommendation is to have all the options and let the customers use. Don't
Absolutely.
Remove an option because you think it's not right. Let the customers decide if they
Absolutely.
Want. Okay, right.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, this is like becoming even more and more prevalent right now. Like, you know, you go to a direct to consumer brand or a website, especially the ones that are on, I think, like maybe Shopify.
Yep.
And you can see a trend. The first thing is they'll just jump and they want your email. As soon as you give them your email, then they want your text message, your phone number for text messages. So I think there's, as a consumer myself, I know I'm a lot more relaxed about giving my email to someone than my phone number.
Absolutely. And that's great.
Yeah.
Right? So you just backed me up what I just said, right?
Yeah.
And that's where I am way more careful about my phone number, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's so effective, right?
Yeah.
Because if I get a message from somebody that I don't really care about, I'm going to read that and spend time looking at it. From an email perspective, like, you know, I don't even notice if they come in anymore, right?
Right. And we have so many emails, we can easily use a fake email, but we can't do that with our phones.
Right.
We just,
yeah.
Not yet at least. So, So,
but I think the point on that though, is that, and this is what we've seen time and time again with results, is that you have to remember that if I'm sending anything to a phone, it is a personal device. So the second that I send you a text message saying, you know, happy Mother's Day or something like that, that obviously doesn't apply to you, it's a bad message, right? I shouldn't have gotten that. I mean, you know, that's kind of an extreme example, but there's also the examples of like, hey, 10% off site-wide next weekend, right? Why did you text me that? Don't text me that right now, right? Send it to me on Friday or Saturday as a reminder of like, hey, this weekend only. Now all of a sudden you're getting into information that I actually want, and there's a higher level of expectation around personalization in something like SMS and mobile than there is in email, right? If I got that email saying, hey, this weekend, you know, savings of 10%, I'd be like, all right, fine, whatever. That didn't really take much of my time. So it's okay to be a little bit less personalized, but we've seen it time and time again. I mean, we have our number one most effective, here, I'll let you guess, what kind of a message always gets the highest response, highest click-through? It's a type of message.
You mean SMS?
Yeah, SMS. Yeah. Yeah. But of all the SMS out there, there is one that time and time again, whether it's like a, you know, 4th of July weekend or Christmas or, you know, like holidays or whatever.
The one from my wife always gets the
first. It's a birthday message. So okay, when we send you a text on your birthday, that gets a probably a 10x response rate than any other message, right? And I think it does a good job of showing, it's like, okay, I got a text on my birthday. This brand actually knows me. Like, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Right? So it seems like the specific thing about the SMS communication with customers is the immediacy of it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Send a message which is relevant, but it also has some level of immediacy, like maximum like today, later today, or don't go to even tomorrow or even the day after that, because it's going to lose its, like, probably the relevance of it for the customer.
Well, think through, let's take something that we all do on our phone, the weather, right? So in the morning, I wake up and I go probably check an app of like, hey, what's today's weather going to be like? Maybe I'm even planning ahead of like 7 days, like what tomorrow's going to be like. That's great. I'll use an app for that. You know, maybe during the day just to see if it's going to rain, I'll use an app for that. If there's a tornado warning, text me. Like, if there's something like that I need to know about right now, please text me. Because like, I want to interrupt my day for information like that. So take that same analogy to a brand. And if you're sitting there saying, here's something that's going to happen in back to school, and it's like a month away, don't text me that information. Like, yeah, I'd love to know about that on your site or something like that. But if you have something going on right now that I would love, and there's a limited quantity, text me that. Like, let me know. Like, that would be really helpful, right? So it helps kind of think through the type. I mean, we didn't talk about content, but like when you get to content, the more immediate, the more personal, the more, I mean, birthday again, right?
Right.
Like, text me that, right? Because that's kind of cool that you know my birthday.
Right, right. When you look at the design event, like, when you sign up for, when you give your phone number to a retailer, they have the option to send you SMS or MMS, right? Or both, correct?
It could be either,
I don't remember having like to select between like saying,
no, you don't.
Only send me SMS. So, and I've tried this. I subscribed, I gave my phone number to some retailers to just see how they do. And although I see the messages, I find myself maybe not engaging as much because they're just not that personalized for me. Totally. So I looked at the first few, and I mean, of course, like some of them are MMS. And I mean, the first thing that I see is like, you know, especially like on my watch, because I get a lot of those things on my watch, and I'm just looking on the watch face, and that basically I decide if I'm going to go check out that Best Buy message that just came in.
Yeah.
And I've kind of like grown to understand that it's not always that personalized for me. So let's say, for example, I'm looking for a stereo, like a receiver, an amp receiver. I don't have a way of telling that to Best Buy for that specific product and only get information about that. I'm not looking for a new TV. I'm not looking for anything else. I just want to hear about, do you have any interesting things about that or not?
Totally. And here's where I'm both excited about the future but I'm also, I'm very interested in how we're going to get there, because Best Buy probably knows you're in the market for a receiver. They're not connecting the dots between how can I actually reach out to you in a personal way, but they probably know that that's what you're in the market for. We did, we actually did a program exactly like this where we had, there was a propensity to, I can't name the retailer, but in their loyalty program, we did a propensity to buy modeling. So this is AI, right? That said, this weekend, Alex has a 68% chance of going out and buying, you know, sod. We'll say it was a home improvement retailer. All of a sudden, it's like, all right, if Alex is going to go buy that, I want him to come in and buy it from me. So I actually am going to use his mobile wallet, send him a notification saying, this weekend, we're adding $20 in value to your loyalty program in points. We're going to take him away on Sunday. So now all of a sudden it's like, all right, if I know, I kind of know 68% is a pretty big number that you're going to go buy something specific this weekend. What I just did is I gave you an incentive to come into me, right? And so from a consumer standpoint, also think about that. Even if I don't know that 68% chance is happening in the background, it's like, oh, cool. They just offered me $20 for this weekend. That's kind of nice, right? So yeah. When you think about going back to your Best Buy world, I want that to happen. I want Best Buy to understand enough about you that this weekend, maybe it's not 100% right, but you're probably in the market for this. It's nice weather. It's the spring. It's, you know, there are many different factors going on. And that's where we've started to look into the AI modeling. AI is actually pretty good at this because it can kind of cut through a lot of the clutter and kind of just treats you as a unit. It doesn't bring the emotion in. It just says, hey, it's nice weather out this weekend. Here's the type of store we are. Here's the type of customer you are. Maybe you're going to like this, right? So, you know, to me, from a mobile standpoint, that personalization really helps. And it helps because then I don't have to send other people an SMS that they're not going to get value from, right?
It's
really the question is it is about how do I capture people who are going to go do something. That's kind of the positive part of it. But there's also the, I don't want to send you a message that you don't want, right? So if I can take that away, then when I do send you a message, you're really going to pay attention to it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this whole concept of personalization.
Yep.
I think we're still at level one from Absolutely. 1 to 10.
Yep.
It is still really, really impersonal.
Yeah.
And it's like so early on in that process where.
Yeah.
I also think that AI is definitely has a potential to help on that because it just like can process so much more information so much faster. So
what we look at, and we've always been really, really big on this, is churn. Who's churning from your database? If you're sending a message that you see a certain, like a 0.5% of your people churn. That's actually two factors here, right? And I think as SMS has become a much more popular channel, there's this desire of like, hey, I just sent a message and made $3 million. I'm going to send another one. And we, from Vibe standpoint, we've been very careful about this because we know that an SMS database is an asset for your company. And anybody that churns, you just lost a little bit of value in that asset, and they're probably not coming back because they churn for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. So when you think of like our churn rates are in the like 0.21% area. A lot of our competitors though, because their brands are saying, oh, I just made money, are like 3%, 5%. That's way too high. However, think about the marketer. If I, as a marketer, can hit a button and make $3 million, I'm going to go hit that button, right? So there is this kind of interesting like short-term versus long-term thinking. And we've always been like, I don't know if it's right or not, right? I mean, maybe our customers aren't making as much money as they could in the short term. But personally, I feel like this is a long-term game and you need to be playing it that way. So that if you got to start watching those opt-out rates, and if those opt-out rates go higher, you need to rethink both your frequency and content, right?
Yeah. So just to clarify, what you mean by churn is when somebody says stop to a text message and that they just want you to stop. That's what you mean by churn on that. Okay. Let's talk about like this concept of maybe just a little bit about, we talked about Best Buy. First of all, I love Best Buy. I'm not picking on them. I'm doing this just so that they become better. So I get better, like, you know, messaging from them. Why do you think what's not connected in their systems that doesn't allow me to get that personalized of a, like a real need that I'm thinking about type of messaging?
Yeah, it's the data component, right? It's the data. It's a lot of retailer. And by the way, Best Buy, love Best Buy too. They're not a customer of ours. So good to use this as an example.
Not yet.
No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what the focus of particularly retail for a number of years was get data. A lot of retailers got to the point where it's like, all right, we have a lot of data. What do we do with it? And how do we use it in the right way to make the customer experience better? That's a big key thing where I can use data to show you that I know who you are, but does that make the customer experience better? I go back to this loyalty idea, right? With Wallet. The thing that I love about this is if I am a customer, I'll use another like REI, right? And I'm in the loyalty program. When I show up at the store, if my phone can remind me, you're in the loyalty program, here's your card. And all you have to do is tap it when you leave, or when you pay, we automatically tap it, right? That really helped me. Like that helped me a lot to participate, right? So that's an example of how I actually help the customer experience by allowing you to participate in loyalty without even really having to do anything, right? So I think going back to your question, I think a lot of the focus in the last, call it four of the last 5 years has been on get data. Get as much data as you can. Now I think brands are realizing, okay, we have a ton of data. What do we even do with this, right? So that's where companies like Vives will come in to say, you have data, let's use it in a really powerful way to get someone an SMS when they really want it. Like that's the perfect recipe right there. Right. And that's what we strive for literally on every message.
Okay. So maybe a little more detail on how Vibe actually does that.
Yeah,
we can get into that. So you're not just a typical infrastructure player. You actually help companies with the content as well.
What we really try and do is create the software that allows our customers to do that. So, and I won't get totally into like the nuts and bolts, but if you want to send a message to, like, we basically call them custom fields. So you can have an unlimited custom fields. So if you, and again, you can use your data to create custom fields. So if I have a custom field of, you know, a certain age group that lives in a certain, like the suburbs who does this, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, that group, I want to send this type of a message, this content to today, because it's going to be relevant. But I want to not send it to people who aren't in that group, right? To me, it's funny because like we always view the segmentation as additive. I view it as subtractive, right? I want to eliminate as many people from that audience that aren't going to find value in that message as possible, right? Because then I can send a message to someone who, you know, like a certain content to a person who actually is going to use that. That's what we want, right? So our software allows you to do that. We are starting to incorporate a lot of AI into things like send time optimization, which is just, it's really interesting as someone who's been in this space for so long. It's really funny because we saw this on Black Friday and Cyber Monday last year, where for some reason, someone said you should send a message at 10 a.m. right? And you should have seen the number of messages that went out at 10 a.m. It was insane. When we looked at response rate, our AI was saying, don't send it at 10 a.m., send it in the afternoon. The response rate in the afternoon was like 2 or 3x what it was in the morning, which was, and it was the first year we've actually seen that happen. And because that's because of saturation, you know, so many messages at 10 a.m. that it was like, oh my God, like it was almost, you know, like there were too many. So what we're trying to look at, especially on the AI side, is the AI is great at coming in with no sort of emotion and saying, hey, your customer base wants to get a message at this time. We have a customer of ours who targets moms, and they were sending at 10 a.m., right? We brought in the AI, and it said, hey, you should send at 7 p.m. And it turns out it was because moms put their kids down and then they go shop. Mm-hmm. And it was like, now that I see that, yes, that totally makes sense, but I didn't think
right.
about it. Right.
So but that only applies to moms. Don't absolutely. Send that right. to like other people at yep. 7 p.m. and expect the same result.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we're starting to get into. Yeah. And we're using this data again for good and to be more personalized, not just to kind of get an excuse to send you more messages. You know, and I think honestly, like right now, one of the dangers we see is because something like SMS is so effective, there is this, like, I mean, we had competitors of ours who were sending 3 messages a day on Black Friday. That's just too much, because every time you send a message, you're going to get a certain number of people opting out. And that might be, it might drive that short-term revenue, and it might look great for just Black Friday or for just one day, but you just turned a bunch of people that aren't coming back, right? And that's really dangerous to think from a long-term perspective.
Yeah, yeah. I think just like the example that you use, as far as like, if you make $3 million from one SMS, the reason you do is because you only sent one.
Exactly.
If you had sent 2 or 3, you would have made less on each one.
And there's a branding component to that too, right? And it's funny, like I did a bunch of panels early on where people are asking like, what's the right frequency? What are the right messages? Go back to how you personally use SMS. Imagine if you had a friend that sent you a message at 10 a.m. saying, hey, are we having dinner? And you don't respond. And then they send you another one at 2. Hey, are we having dinner? And then another one at 4. Hey, are we having dinner? You'd be like, stop it. Stop doing that. Right? So like, that's what a brand is doing.
Block.
Exactly. Right. Like you would never do that.
Practice it on yourself first, right?
Absolutely. I mean, there's consumers. A social component to SMS, which you just have to be aware of for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, this is the other thing, is like the concept of customer obsession and customer centricity.
Yep.
They get a lot of like talk, but not a lot of actual action and implementation when it comes down to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of it's been when like a lot of the talk has been around data itself, and I need to collect and I need to know people. But like our most successful customers are starting to realize, all right, I can use this data for a better customer experience. That's what it's really about. And how do I do that? And that is not sending someone 3 messages a day. Right, it's sending someone a message when there's something they would care about that they may not know about that they might miss, right? Mm-hmm. Like that to me is where it's like, all right, that's a brand that knows me and actually wants to help me, right?
Yeah, that personalization is really important. Yep. Becomes even more important on SMS.
Yeah, so absolutely. Yeah,
because it's even more important on SMS than push, right? Because push doesn't have that direct or emotional connection to people as SMS does, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, push, so the Apple and Google have kind of played around with push and how it actually displays on your phone. So, because they realize that if I'm a brand, I have all the incentive in the world to just push you a message all the time, right? And so that's where it's really interesting, because again, compare SMS to push. The handset providers started tweaking things to say, all right, certain brands are going to come into your like scheduled delivery, right? That you see like once a day. And I never look at those anymore, right? Some of them I actually want to see right away. So it's because you had this, the brands say, oh, I can send messages. Great. Go, 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 go. The handset providers, because Apple cares about the experience, Google cares about your experience with the phone. And if it's just a relentless machine of messages, you're not going to like that, right? So they're giving you tools to filter that. SMS, on the other hand, because A, it's going through the carriers, B, you've opted in, and C, there's a cost to it too. You know, SMS is not free. So if I'm a brand, I am paying money to send you that message. I think honestly that, you know, as an economics major, that is probably the thing that has kept it sane and worthwhile, is I have to think about sending you a message because it's going to cost me some money.
So per unit sent, is SMS the most, I guess, expensive than
from like push and wallet? Yes,
and, sure. Email, of course. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So
an email, you see that, right? I mean, I almost wish, you know, and back in the early days of internet, there was talk around like adding some sort of a fee, even if it's like, you know, 0.004 cents or something like that. I almost wish they did that, because like I wouldn't have 8,000 unread emails.
Yeah. Right?
Somebody actually had to pay to send me something.
Well, you know, I think there is a solution coming to that email problem, probably with generative AI and some kind of an agent that Alex is going to install on his email, and it's just going to go through and
absolutely.
That would be interesting. That would be a really useful use case for
an agent. Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting though. Even how we use email in our company has changed. Like, we use Slack, right? Which has zero advertising to pay for it. Email is almost reserved for external people reaching out to me, right? But I don't even really use email. I mean, I do, I would say from a day-to-day basis, but like I use something like Slack way more. So like something like email is absolutely out there to be, you know, like disrupted, right? Because it's just becoming less and less effective, like literally every day.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about like the different use cases for SMS. So you can use it for marketing, which is what we've been talking about mostly, but you can also use it as on the product side, on transactional information and things that are important, that can, which is more like, I think, like, you know, this the team that is working at the company as an e-commerce or retail, you know, business is made up of marketers, designers, and of course product people. So we we mentioned about the, like, you know, product managers previously. And like the product managers typically would not be using SMS for marketing,
right?
But they would have some really important use cases for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you also work on those type of use cases to that? And what are your thoughts on best practices for that?
I mean, yeah, again, I go back to, if you're the product person, especially like e-commerce, right? And the thing that comes to mind is shipping, right? So we had a customer of ours who did a lot of work with sneakers. So I don't know if you know about sneakers, but the sneaker world is insane. Like, it's awesome to see the passion behind a lot of this. But what was happening is people would order sneakers, it would get shipped to their house and stolen. The package is stolen like quickly, because people are trained to know what a sneaker looks like, all that. Our customer had to pay for that out of their own pocket. They couldn't get insurance because the insurance company said, that's too much money, there's too much theft going on. Like, talk to the postal service or FedEx or whoever. Like, all of a sudden our customer said, I'm going to send an alert. I'm going to send a text message when those sneakers are delivered. And immediately the theft went down so much that they could get insurance. So that's one of those things that, like, again, you're helping your end customer, because it's like your product is there. It's sitting on your front porch. If I ordered sneakers, I don't want them to get stolen, right? So me getting a text, even if I'm sitting at home, working at home or whatever, it's like, ooh, they're there, somebody go get them. Like, that's really helpful. So that's not a marketing message. That is a message that says like, hey, something has happened that you need to pay attention to, right?
Right, right. Or if something is late, you can let people know. Absolutely. And I think those are not direct marketing messages, but they go a long way to create a positive experience.
Absolutely. And again, that's what it's about, right? Is How do I create a positive experience? I think at Starbucks, I give credit to all the time, right? Where they, I mean, talk about something you could sign up for in any different channel, right? But like, and it was interesting. I was in the Starbucks here the other week, and I was looking at mobile orders versus people coming in and ordering. It was 7-1 mobile orders to actual people ordering at the register. And they had two people at two registers and two people doing mobile orders. So think about that from an employee standpoint. I now have the same number of people handling 7x what I used to be able to do. That's a win for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you start thinking through, like, as a product person, whether it's e-com or whether it's a physical location, what can I actually bring through the mobile channel to have my customers do on their own that it used to take a person, right?
Right.
I think that's a really interesting way to think about the product of how can I bring a little bit more of it to the customer, more of that functionality to the customer, rather than having to have someone or something actually take it down.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the, I guess the tier one aspect yes. of your business. And then I want to get into maybe one or two quick like use cases with some retailers or companies that you're working with.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the tier one that you're mentioning, and this gets into the kind of the guts of SMS. So, so within SMS, you have a certain number of companies. There's four of us who have direct connections to the carriers. So when I send if you send a message using the Vibes platform, it goes directly to Verizon, right? And then out to the consumer. What people don't understand is that in our space, there are a lot of other players who then connect to another person. So again, there's only four of those companies. You have to go through one of those four companies. So usually it's the newer SMS providers, you send a message through their platform. It might go to three or four companies until it goes out to the carrier. And that usually isn't a problem until you have high volume, right? So something like, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, but not only that, but like Fridays, Thursdays, those high traffic moments. And again, what we were just talking about, like timing is just so important for SMS. Right. So if I'm a, fast casual and I want to get you a message at 11:30 a.m. because it's about to be lunchtime, if that's going through multiple hops, it might not get out until 2 p.m. And now all of a sudden, we've seen this with customers who have come to us from our competitors, is they say, I had a sale that was going on during the day. The message didn't reach the person until 9 at night. We had one of these examples. And that's horrible because think about what you just did. You just alerted one of your great customers that there was a sale that they just missed. And it's like, that's horrible. So I think
that's even worse. Yeah.
Yeah. So going back, and we're again, one of those four companies, we focus in the marketing side as well. So the other three just do that routing. And so this is one of those things that I think is a little unknown in our industry. And if you're a company and you're sending SMS and they're delayed or they're not getting there within seconds, right? It's because it's getting bounced around. And so I would encourage you to think through who are you actually doing it through and how many stops are there, right?
Okay. Yeah. So I guess this point about being tier one is a question that somebody looking for an SMS partner.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Can ask as well.
Yeah. You can ask that. I mean, right. There are a lot of players who say, yeah, I'm tier one. But you got to really ask. And I would say,
how do you verify if somebody is tier one or not?
You've got to ask how many hops are there until it gets to the carrier?
Oh, okay.
That's the way to ask, right? And yes, okay. People lie about that, but like, they should be able to verify that and understand that. Like,
maybe they just don't know. And they've been told that we are, that's what a lot of salespeople know. Yeah.
So. Nobody knows to ask. I mean, think about like, if you're an email, like, you don't know. That doesn't matter because it doesn't matter if you get an email, 4 hours later. But with SMS, it really does matter. And I would argue if it actually doesn't matter, you're not sending the right content.
Okay. Yeah. That's another good point.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So let's talk about a couple of examples. I think you had like the Container Store was one.
Yeah. So Container Store was a really interesting. It was going around like, you know, college, going off to college. That's obviously a really big time for them. And so, you know, when Container Store kids going to college is like, you know, is like the holidays, right? So, mm-hmm. You know, when they started using SMS, they were kind of going through this, right? Where it's like, how does SMS fit in? I do email. When they launched, they got 94,000 subscribers within the first 2 months. So that's always, in my mind, a lot of our customers go through like, is anybody even going to sign up for this, right? That's great. That's a great number, right? I mean, yes, the list is going to get much bigger, but to show that, especially college kids, like this is how they want to be actually communicated with, right? So then we start on the content side of like what messages actually resonate. And with SMS, they're seeing click-through rates as high as 25%, right? So that in my mind says if 25% of the people I send a message to actually click, that says I've got content here that's really working, that's really resonating, you know? If you send a message and again, think in email, like 25% click-through, like that, like click-through, that's insane, right?
Yeah.
So it's really,
really, really unheard of, right? Yeah. I mean,
so that's good. That shows you your content and timing and frequency, like all of those worlds are coming together to create a really, really good engaging message.
In the beginning, right? They probably had to work it a little bit to get to that.
You have to learn, right?
Right.
And I always say that too, right? Like, yes, I've been doing this for 25 years, but I'm still surprised sometimes of like types of content or frequency or, you know, what works with a specific customer group. And I almost take a step back and say, like, I could come in here and say, here's what we think is going to work, but let's try, like, let's test and learn and do it quickly. With SMS, you can quickly learn what's going to work. So do that, right? Because who am I to say who your customer base is and what they respond to?
Okay. Now, so let's take Container Store as an example,
yeah.
Not naming any like people or anything, but like who was the team at the Container Store that you worked with?
So it's the marketing team. So
the marketing team.
Yeah. So yeah, so it's really interesting. I mean, it's interesting you bring that up because some of our customers, it's the product team. Some of our customers is the marketing team. Some is the loyalty team. And it's really interesting you mentioned that because you're now seeing digital is part of the product, is part of loyalty, is part of marketing. And so we always say like, you know, yes, there's e-commerce, but it's actually just commerce. Right. Mm-hmm. Like it's how do you interact with one of your customers and allow them to best engage with you, how they want to engage, right? And I think right now you're seeing a little bit of we're not quite sure who it is in the organization that is responsible for that. I mean, even as you said,
like
the product side, right? I mean, the product people are gonna think of it differently than loyalty people who are going to think of differently than marketing people. And this is why when I try and talk about mobile, I always try and talk about like think of it in the mission driven side. Like it's not just something you want to just, you know, hit the button over and over again. You really want to test and learn, get data, use the data you have. And so I think as companies evolve, the ones that can do that the fastest and the cleanest are going to be the ones that win, right?
Okay.
They're the ones that get the 25% click-through rate with very little churn versus the ones that are getting 5% click-through rate with higher churn, right?
Yeah. I mean, there is a customer life cycle, right? With any company from the beginning of even hearing about a brand up to where they make that first purchase. And then after that first purchase is where the gold mine is, really the lifetime value begins.
Yep.
And the reason that there is some confusion or maybe variance in what teams actually work on what is that, you know, there all of these different phases of engaging with the customer are, they have to be collaborated by different teams.
Yeah.
And who owns the SMS system doesn't even matter anymore.
Totally.
It's who uses it.
Yep. And how do you use it, right?
And I mean, how do they use it?
Shipping example, right? Marketing isn't necessarily going to care about that. Product is, I mean, compliance is, like, risk, mm-hmm. the CFO does, right? Because now I don't have to go buying sneakers, right? And so it's really interesting because mobile is more than just, I want to send you a message that says, hey, this weekend, here's a marketing announcement, something like that, right? And the way that we use mobile as consumers, again, like, it is the portal from physical to digital.
Right.
And everything goes through that, right? Which just makes it so exciting as in terms of a opportunity to talk to people, but also that's why it's so powerful. You got to take a step back and understand, should I be doing this? Should I send this as a text and not an email?
Right. Yeah. So the conversation, again, at, let's say, Container Store, started from a conversation with marketing. And they probably were the ones who picked the provider, the partner, from the functionality. But I'm sure there were also conversations with the engineering team on how it's going to be implemented, right? Because the implementation is on the engineering side mostly. And then the users are the marketers, or how does that
work? You say engineering. I mean, part of our goal as a company is to make it as easy as possible to plug in. Right. And this is MarTech in general. Right. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this 25 years. I've never had one customer and another customer have the exact same marketing stack. Right. And it was funny because, like, that was learning for us, where it was like, hey, let's just plug into Adobe, Salesforce, IBM, Oracle, like, and it'll be great. No, it doesn't really work that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have customers who have homegrown CRM systems that they built themselves. And it's like, all right, it's our job now to go and say, all right, I need to be able to work easily with all of them. Right. And so this is where I think 90% of our software platform is API based, to where if you want to start using certain APIs and not mm-hmm. others, you can do that. You can get that functionality. I think it's not just routing a message, right? It's signing somebody up for a database. It's collecting information, right? What's their birthday? You know, what do they like? What do they mm-hmm. what do they want to hear about? That to me has been really interesting, because again, no two customer of ours are the same. And we kind of just have to deal with that. And the way we deal with that is just to make it as easy as possible to get information, or, you know, API in and out of what we do.
But the API is not something that a marketing person would be able to integrate. Like the technical team, the development team has to actually get the APIs to work together.
Yeah. And so
unless you actually have a really automated plugin into,
like, or
say,
you have,
let's say, Shopify or whatever, that just, they do it with one button from the dashboard and it just gets it done.
I mean, right? Yes. And there's also, I think when you think about generations of workers, people who are coming into the workforce in the last 5 years know what an API is, and they know how to actually work with one, even if you're on the marketing side. Yeah. Okay. And so it's really interesting to see that, where we'll have, I mean, the way we set up our company is, on one extreme, it's like you can work with APIs and do the coding yourself. On the other extreme, you can just use the platform, just log in, like, do what you want to do, and, like, let the platform worry about all that stuff for you. And we have customers in all spectrums, right?
Okay.
Only platform to only API, right?
Okay. So to use the platform, they would still have to enter some customer information, like the phone numbers and their names, and that needs to go into your platform or not?
No, you could hit, essentially, you get lit up with the platform, and you set up a call to action so that people will see text join to 12345. They do that, and now you have their information. Like, at the most basic point, right?
So your platform is actually the the interface that is taken in the phone number on on the customer's website.
Yes.
So somebody has to add that the plugin or whatever the the pop-up or modal or whatever on the website or Okay.
Yeah. So something like that, we obviously make that as easy as possible, whether it's one line of code, right? That you just have to put up on your website.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I think this is actually one of the very interesting positive things that you know, we've all seen in the last 10 years, how APIs have made our work and life so much better. So, well, it's, you know, we're past the time that we had expected. I'm sure
I can talk about this all day.
Me too. But I'm sure you've got like really important like meetings to go to. So I don't want to hold you too much. Really appreciate the conversation. I think there's definitely a lot more to learn, but I think hopefully we were able to provide some information to the listeners.
Yeah.
And so if people want to contact you and learn more, how do you recommend they do that?
Yeah, so our website is vibes.com. You can always reach out to me. It's alex@vibes.com. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy. I'm always happy to kind of help people through, even if they don't want to be customers. Like, to me, I care about the industry and I care about how this world works and to make it clean and effective. And so if there's any way I can help any of your listeners through just some of those thoughts, I'm all for it. So.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Alex.
No, this is fun. Yeah. Thank you for having me.